Health Buzz with Dr. Jim Keeney at www.jim.md.
What if a drug could stimulate your body's own cells to mend a stubborn fracture that refuses to heal and leaves you with poor function and debilitating pain? That's exactly what a group of orthopedic specialists at University of Rochester noticed in their patients on a next generation of osteoporosis drug called Forteo. Fosamax, Boniva, Actinel, Reclast, they all work by slowing bone loss. Forteo actually works by stimulating the cells that create new bone. Still, the expense and potential side effects of this new drug will keep it on the back burner as a third-line treatment for the foreseeable future. But for a select group of patients, this medication may hold promise for both osteoporosis refractory to standard treatments and for fractures that just won't heal. Welcome to the Health Buzz Podcast, your only source for prescription-strength health information. I'm your host, Dr. Jim Keeney, emergency physician at Mission Hospital Regional Medical Center in Mission Viejo, California. Today, we will speak with Dr. Susan Bucata, director and associate professor for the Center for Bone Health at the University of Rochester Medical Center and board-certified orthopedic surgeon. Dr. Bucata, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to speak with you today.
The reason I want to talk about this is a news release that's talking about a study that you have initiated because of some interesting findings related to Forteo. And maybe first we should back up and talk about what exactly is Forteo.
Forteo is a medication that is used for the treatment of osteoporosis to help you build bone. It's the first medication we have that actually works on the side of the bone building cell, the osteoblast, to make up some of the bone that you've lost from the disease of osteoporosis.
And so how is that different from the group like Fosamax and those type of drugs?
Fosamax and Actinel and other bisphosphonates actually work on the side of the osteoclast or the bone cutting cell to prevent additional bone loss. They don't stimulate bone building.
Before we talk about Forteo, the bisphosphonates have always interested me and maybe concerned me a little bit because there must be some important function of these cells that eat away old bone and allow new bone to be laid down. What kind of quality of bone are we preserving when we use those type of drugs?
Well, that's been a major concern with the use of bisphosphonates, particularly in the past few years. Your skeleton is one of the few tissues in your body that is constantly remodeling itself, and it has to because it's mineral. You get little micro cracks in your skeleton that need to be repaired. So we need a certain baseline of repair to continue to occur. One of the concerns raised with bisphosphonates is that if you turn down that repair too much, might you actually increase someone's risk of fracture? There's a concept called a bone holiday that people have started to look at, particularly for the medication Fosamax or alendronate, where if you've been on the medication for several years in a row, that you may be able to take a break for a couple of years, live off the supply that's in the skeleton, and let your skeleton regenerate a little bit. The main question that we have not been able to answer as a scientific community about these medications is, does everybody need a break from them, or is it only a subset of the population? From data that's out there, probably most people could take a little break from them. One thing that we follow is turnover markers. These are markers that either come from your blood or come from your urine and let us know how well you're recycling your bone. The problem is they're very individual. Just like your blood pressure or your temperature, everybody has a different set point. What's too low for one person may not be too low for another person.
So are you saying there's a set marker that you can actually measure, but you don't know what to do with the result, or is this something that can't be measured right now?
It's something that can be measured, but we don't know what to do with the result.
In your mind, are these medications, bisphosphonates specifically, overused or underutilized? And are we creating less quality bone, possibly, in people that don't need to be on this medication?
Here's the issue, because 50% of the female population in the United States has osteoporosis. And we certainly know that the risk of fracture goes up with that diagnosis. We know that since we've started using bisphosphonates and treatment more commonly over the past 10 years, the rate of hip fractures for the first time ever has gone down relative to what we would have predicted for the aging of our population. So it appears that we are having some effect at fracture prevention, and really that's the name of the game. And we certainly know when someone has had a fracture, they're at high risk for fracturing again. So we need to be very aggressive with those patients. The problem is trying to figure out early on in a younger patient with low bone mass, who do we have to treat in order to prevent fractures in their younger ages as well as in their older ages. And we don't have that answer right now. Data would suggest, though, when you look at general population, that in fact using these medications has cut down in the overall risk of fracture in the population. Then it becomes difficult for us to apply this, again, on an individual-by-individual basis. Overall, we are severely under-treating osteoporosis. For example, if someone has a hip fracture, repeatedly studies have shown that only about 1 in 6 patients who have had a hip fracture, patients who clearly have osteoporosis, wind up on a medication to treat that osteoporosis within a year of having that hip fracture. So in those situations, we're clearly underusing the medications. The question around the perimenopausal woman, when we used to use estrogen, when someone went into menopause, they were placed on estrogen and they were protected from additional bone loss around menopause by that estrogen. Now, we don't necessarily put people onto medications like bisphosphonates when they go into menopause, and we're letting them lose large quantities of their skeleton as they adjust to that estrogen loss and then intervening later. We may be better off intervening and maintaining what they have around that time of menopause and potentially saving more in the bank of bone that they can use later in life. So it's not 100% clear exactly who to treat and how we can best select these groups. We have to make large population decisions. Right now, bone quality, which can be affected by the bisphosphonates themselves, has been a big question. There was a large study done on alendronate, which looked at patients who took the drug for 10 years straight, and it looked at patients who took the drug for 5 years and then had 5 years off. At 10 years, the fracture rate between the two groups was exactly the same. The markers in the group that was off for the 5 years started to rise about year 8, year 9, and by year 10, they were certainly elevated again, and DEXA scans were starting to change at year 10 compared to their peers who were continuing to take the medication. So that suggests to us that we can take a break from the medications and that we can get the benefits of the medications lasting a little bit beyond when you're taking them. We haven't really answered the question of who can come off and for how long.
Okay, and then in comes Forteo, which is a totally different class of drugs, and this one actually lays down new bone. They're describing this almost as an internal stem cell process because you're stimulating your own natural stem cells to create new bone. Is that correct?
Correct. You're stimulating those cells that are in the pathway to become these bone-building cells, the osteoblasts, to progress down that pathway, become active osteoblasts, and start making bone. It's really the first treatment we have that can repair and not only the bone mass losses, but the bone architectural losses. Think of it as if termites have hit the beams of a house, and this is the team coming in to repair those beams. It can not only fix the holes in the beam, it can put a whole extra supporting layer on top of all of those beams.
Right, so this sounds so much better. What I'm wondering is, why is this like a third-line treatment for osteoporosis as opposed to a first-line treatment?
For several reasons, expense being one of them. For the vast majority of people, if we can protect them from their fracture, we've covered most of the expense for their osteoporosis care in their lifetime. Bisphosphonates, such as Fosamax, which is now available as a generic, you can get alendronate at Walmart for $25 a month. It costs between $800 and $900 a month for a dose of Forteo. Forteo is also only FDA approved for 2 years. You can use it during that 2-year period to rebuild your bone. But once you're done with those 2 years, you do need to be on other medications to help maintain those bone gains that you've made. So it's the beginning of a new pathway for us to treat osteoporosis. But in many ways, it's only the first step.
I would imagine the fact that it's a daily injection on top of the fact that it costs $700 a month or so probably puts people off. And not to mention this black box warning that sounds so ominous that it may cause bone cancer.
Correct. Well, what's interesting, when we explain things to patients about using Forteo, people always picture a giant needle with a tetanus shot when you think about giving yourself an injection every day. The needle that goes with this applicator pen is the same needle people use to give themselves insulin. It's about the size of an eyelash. So instead of being a large shot into a muscle, it's really a prick through the skin. One of my nurses describes it more like a mosquito bite. And when people understand that, they're much less afraid of the medication, particularly someone who's already experienced a fracture and knows the pain of what a fracture is and really doesn't want to repeat that. The black box warning in itself is very important. The FDA, originally when they approved the medication, made a point that people become aware of what that really says. In toxicity dosing for this medication, a certain type of rat developed a bone tumor that's a cancerous bone tumor called an osteosarcoma. They haven't seen that develop in other breeds of rats. They haven't seen it develop in other animals under similar dosing regimens. However, people can get osteosarcomas, so we need to be concerned about the people who are at increased risk for getting an osteosarcoma. That would be people who had an osteosarcoma, this cancerous bone tumor, when they were a kid. And the vast majority of the people who get these, it occurs when they're children. So we don't give this medication to children who are still growing. You have to be an adult with closed growth plates in order to receive it. Patients who've had radiation for cancer, patients who have Paget's disease, are also at increased risk for developing this osteosarcoma. Still, at an incredibly rare rate, less than 1 in 250,000 in people over age 50 in the United States per year. It's been a very, very steady rate for more than half a century now. The risk is still low. Because this was seen in the animals, that is part of the reason why we only used the medication for 2 years. That's considered to be a low-risk window for patients. It's probably not the medicine you want to go on at age 22 and stay on for the rest of your life, but it is incredibly helpful for patients who have severe enough osteoporosis that they're getting debilitating fractures. It is a way for us to turn things around for them.
So that fast forwards us to what we're talking about today, your finding or your group's finding that this almost sounds miraculous that people who had non-healing fractures are now getting up out of wheelchairs and walking around and living independent lives again because their fractures were healed while they were on Forteo.
That's correct. And there are a few patients like this in particular, and these are the patients that clued us in to the fact that this may be effective in helping patients who are having trouble healing their fractures, not people who have a fracture that's healing normally in the 2 or 3 months that we would expect, but these initial patients were people who had had fractures that hadn't healed for many, many months, and they were painful and debilitating for them. These patients also had severe osteoporosis, so they were placed on Forteo to care for their osteoporosis. And much to our surprise, they then came back to their normal visit 6 or 8 weeks later with significant improvements in their pain and significant improvements in their functional abilities. And this made the light bulb go off for us that could this actually help build bone in a very specific place where we want it to happen at a fracture site as well as across the entire body. We then looked at fractures at multiple sites across the body, in the spine, in the neck, in the arms, in the legs, and more in the pelvis. And across the body, in the first 145 patients that we looked at, 93% of them, we were able to get a fracture that was delayed in healing to heal for these patients without requiring a second surgical intervention. 4 patients really had no improvement whatsoever and needed to go on to surgical intervention. And a small portion of patients had some improvement in their fracture site, but not 100% healing. However, they were comfortable enough and functional enough that they didn't necessarily want another surgical intervention to complete the process. And many of those patients went on Forteo because they had osteoporosis, and then we just tracked what happened with their fractures. This is a very hopeful and promising thing for us, that for people who are having trouble healing, we may be able to re-kickstart the process for them to push them towards healing without having to go through a surgical process for them.
So this does sound truly amazing. When do you think that you'll be done with your study and maybe have a more definitive answer on whether this truly is a benefit across the board for people with non-healing fractures?
The clinical trial that we are currently running is looking specifically at pelvic fractures because there isn't a surgical intervention for them, and they're very painful and severely limit people's ability to walk and function for several months. We are due to complete that trial in approximately 2.5 years, and hopefully we'll be able to report our data soon thereafter. Preliminary data in pelvic fracture patients that we've had have been very promising, particularly for the type of fracture that occurs in the back of the pelvis, the sacrum. Those patients had very good results early on with treatment, and we're hopeful that this will continue to show itself in the clinical trial. But as with everything in science, you have to do a randomization and really see, is this happening or is this something that we're hoping about?
Finally, just the disclosure part, is this research funded by the manufacturers of Forteo, or how is this being funded?
No, this research is funded by the tax dollars of the people of the United States. It's an NIH research fund that's a part of a larger grant given to the University of Rochester to look at multiple research issues regarding trauma, something called a CORT grant. These dollars to support the research and the study involved all come from the NIH. Eli Lilly, who's the maker of the drug, was kind enough to provide the medication as well as the placebo medication for us because it has to be placed in these pens for use, and they're the only people who are able to create these pens for administration. However, the study itself is fully funded by the NIH.
Are any of the principal investigators on the Speakers Bureau or make a significant income from speaking for Forteo?
I do speak for Eli Lilly on osteoporosis and do disclose that relationship. I do approximately 8 to 10 talks a year, but with less than $10,000 in income from these discussions. We speak about Forteo and Avista and osteoporosis health. Other than that, none of the other investigators have any relationship with Eli Lilly.
Dr. Bicotta, thanks again for sharing your time and expertise. I'm Dr. Jim Keeney. You've been listening to the Health Buzz podcast, your only source for prescription strength health information. Be sure to visit our website at www.jim.md, featuring on-demand podcasts of our entire library of health topics. For comments and questions, please email us at mail@jim.md. Don't forget to sign up for the free podcast by clicking on the link in the upper right-hand sidebar of the webpage. And thank you for listening. Tell a friend. It could save their life, or at least it could heal their bones.